Over to you.
Thank you, Asha, for such a wonderful introduction. So honored. Before we begin, I would request all to you, please keep your videos on. The thing is, I should know that I am speaking to flesh and blood and not to machines. So please keep your videos on. I would like to wish all mothers a happy Mother's Day. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, we submit this time into your lovely hands. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to bring a message which is from your heart, Abba. Anoint the words that come out of my mouth, Abba. Let everyone who hears, Father, let the words pierce deep into their heart and bring a change, Lord. We want to be changed today, Father. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, we were in a series where we were looking into various appearances of Jesus to his disciples after resurrection. So, after resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days. After 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven. Exactly 5 weeks back, that is 35 days back, we celebrated resurrection of Jesus, which means in few days, that is precisely on 13th May, it is Ascension Day. So today, let's look into this account of Jesus' ascension. Let's read this account from Acts. So I request you to please turn your Bible to Acts 1. I'm reading from Acts 1, verse 4 onwards. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. So, what happened? Jesus gives few last instructions to the disciples. He asked the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for baptism with Holy Spirit so that they can receive power and they will be his witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes. These disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven. As they were looking into the sky, two angels came and told them that Jesus will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Why is ascension important? Ascension marked the end and success of Christ's earthly ministry, which meant that the ministry of disciples began. Also, the ascension helped disciples witness a supernatural event of Jesus ascending into heaven with his resurrected body. Ascension also demonstrated how Jesus would return. He will come back visibly and physically. Ascension also meant that Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit soon. In John 16:7, Jesus says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So unless Jesus go away, the Holy Spirit would not come. So So in my message today, in short, is three words: purpose, power, promise. The purpose that Jesus has given us, which is to witness about Jesus. The power that we should receive from Jesus, which is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The promise that Jesus will come back. The title of today's message is, Why Are We Here? I'm not asking why are we here in this Zoom meeting. The question is, why are we here on earth? The day we became born again, God could have taken us back into heaven. Not back into heaven, into heaven. But we are still here on earth. Why? There is a purpose. God wants us to accomplish something. God wants us to witness about Him to others. That is what I believe is the reason why we are still here on earth. So my first point today is, remember the purpose. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, You will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus has given us a purpose here, and that purpose is to be His witness. This instruction was given just before ascension. So it is a very important instruction. We should begin witnessing in our Jerusalem first. What is our Jerusalem? Jerusalem for us is the place where God has placed us. Could be your family, your friends, or your colleagues. God expects us to reach out to them at least. It's the bare minimum. After we do this, yes, we should reach out to our Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We can explore ways how we can reach out to the other people which we don't know. But at least, bare minimum, we should reach out to our Jerusalem, our friends, our colleagues, our family members. In Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission says, Go and make disciples of all nations. This is what Jesus has commanded to do. This is the core thing, core of core, the essence of our life in earth. We are fishers of men. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. That's what who we are. God's kingdom plan is very simple. A person tells about Savior to another person. That's how he wants to expand the kingdom. It's like a chain reaction. Be careful that we don't break that chain. The chain won't break, but we should not break our chain by stopping witnessing about Him. Imagine if people didn't, if those disciples didn't witness about Jesus, we wouldn't have been here. We are here because many, many people obeyed this command, go and make, be my witness. Few years back, exactly 1.5 years back or so, we had this preaching training where Colin gave us one assignment. We were to prepare a message from a portion of scripture. I prepared a message which I felt was great, but I selected the wrong portion of scripture. When Shoma pointed out that the scripture you have selected is wrong, I realized my mistake and I changed the message. But what if I didn't change the message and I submitted the assignment? Colin would have said, wow, it's a good message. But Manish, this is not the assignment I gave. Many of us are engineers here, doctors, teachers. Some of us are homemakers, students. We might be good or great at what we are doing. These things are important. But if we are not doing the very assignment, the most important thing, that most important assignment that Jesus has given us, rest of the things are a waste of time. God wants all people to be saved. In 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's heart. This is the Father's heart. He wants all people to be saved. Yet, all are not saved. we know that Bible is clear, all won't be saved. But he, that is his desire, that he wants all people to be saved. So we should share gospel. Yes, who with we share gospel and all won't believe. There would be rejections. We are not the savior. Our duty is to share the gospel. Thousands upon thousands are dying because of COVID nowadays. In India, 2,000, 3,000 people are dying daily. That is the official count. We don't know how much is the true figure. It's a sad thing. It's a terrible thing. But what is more worse? That many of them who are dying are going to hell. They are going to burn in hell forever, where the fire doesn't quench, where the worms that eat the flesh don't die. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It gives us that responsibility that we should share the gospel. We should witness about Jesus to others. In 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 20, it says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So God is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And for that, he has entrusted us with this message of reconciliation, gospel. He has entrusted that to us so that we can implore others that on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. That's what God wants us to do. People are looking for vaccination and no one is getting it. Very few are getting vaccination. But what do people need the most? More than vaccination, they need gospel. Imagine you got one medicine. Someone has invented a medicine and he gave for the healing of COVID, for the treatment of COVID. And that medicine is given to you. Let's say you got thousands of medicine. What would you do? Wouldn't you give it to your family members, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors? You will feel good about it. You feel you're saving life. Same way, a much more powerful thing, a glorious thing, the gospel has been entrusted to us. Wouldn't you share it with people? Gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 11, 1:16. It is the power of God. Shouldn't we share it with others? India has at least 1 billion non-believers, at least. So the harvest is plenty. But as Jesus said in Luke 10:2, the workers are few. Today, are you ready to be a worker for him? If you are ready, tell to the person next to you, yes, I want to be a worker. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, always look for opportunity to share the gospel. Be on the lookout for it. Ask this question, why am I here? Why am I here on earth? What is the assignment? Be his witness. There are many who are sick, many of them whom you know, friends, colleagues, non-believers. Call them and pray for their healing in Jesus' name. Let them know the power of Jesus. So my first point is, remember the purpose. My second point is, receive the power. But you will receive, Jesus says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus wants to give us this power. We receive this power when Holy Spirit comes on us. In Luke 24:49, Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. What is the meaning of Holy Spirit coming on you or clothing with power from on high? Why should the disciples who have already received Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed into on them in John 20:22, why should they wait for the coming of Holy Spirit? So Jesus was talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5, Jesus said, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The word baptism means immerse. Baptism with the Holy Spirit means immerse in the Holy Spirit. Baptism is for all born again Christians. If you are a believer, baptism with the Holy Spirit is a promise for you. And Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:11. But why do we need power? In these days where politicians are fighting for power, it might seem noble to say that I don't need power. But power is for the purpose. If you read Acts 1:8, says, "Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness." So to be his witness, to do it efficiently, the way it should be done, we should receive this power which comes from the Holy Spirit. Another reason, power equips us for the war. When we became born again, Jesus rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom. If you don't know what this is, Jesus saved us from our sins. He died for our sins. If you accept those who have not yet given their life to Jesus, I plead with you. Give your life to Jesus today. Today is the day. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. He died for your sins. He rose again on the third day, and he wants to save you today. Just believe. So God has brought us from, rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and we are in his kingdom now. So whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we feel it or not, we are at war with a host of enemies. The enemy is not flesh and blood, not man, but spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Rulers of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. This Christian Kane says, I like it. She says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." Yes, Bible says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." But make no mistake, the weapon will be formed. There is a weapon which will be formed against you. There is a war. There is an enemy. But we need the power that comes from the Holy Spirit to fight this war. Imagine a soldier without the weapon at border. That would be a believer without power. We are weak by ourselves. We need Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Romans 8:26. Third reason why we need power. Power ignites a zeal in us. Peter, who was locked inside the room, scared in John 20, stepped out of the room and spoke with boldness in Acts 2 after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. All the disciples who were afraid before the baptism with the Holy Spirit were zealous for Jesus after they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were even ready to die for Jesus. All the 11 except John were murdered because of their faith. Why should you be zealous? You might think, okay, this is for the pastors and for the leaders and those in full-time ministry. What is Jesus saying? Jesus, speaking to the church of Laodicea, says, "I know your works," in Revelation 3:15. "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." There are many, many Christians who think, "I am spiritually rich, I have prospered, I didn't need nothing." This is what Jesus speaks about lukewarm Christians. And what is that Jesus asked them to do? In Revelation 3:19, Jesus says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." Jesus is asking for that zeal from these lukewarm Christians. So Jesus wants us to be burning with zeal for Jesus. and Holy Spirit ignites seal in us. So how to receive this power? As Peter and his disciples on the day of Pentecost, when they were waiting in one place, in one accord, they were baptized with the Spirit. Cornelius and family, when Peter was preaching, got baptized with the Spirit. And none of us have yet been, the baptism of Spirit didn't happen now and I am preaching, but let's pray. The 12 disciples in Ephesus got baptized with the Spirit when Paul laid his hands on them. But in this online setting, how can you be baptized with the Spirit? Just ask. We should just ask. In Luke 11:13, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We need to ask. The Father wants to give us this gift. If we, fathers, who being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our good Father in heaven will give Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We just need to ask. And how should we ask? We should not ask casually. Okay, if I get it, okay. If I don't get it, it's okay. We should ask earnestly. When I was in my old church, the pastor of that church laid hands on me and prayed so that I would be baptized with the Spirit. But nothing happened. Though all the people next to me were baptized with the Spirit, I felt bad. So I went home and I prayed. And one night, I prayed earnestly. And one night, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So those who are not yet baptized with the Spirit, I would ask you to pray for the baptism with the Spirit. Ask diligently. And those who are already baptized with the Spirit, seek filling of the Holy Spirit daily. Peter, who was baptized with the Spirit in Acts 2, was again filled with the Spirit in Acts 4:8 when he was speaking to the teachers of the law after his arrest. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit." So my first point is, remember the purpose. And my second point is, receive the power. And my third point today is, rejoice in the promise. In Acts 1:11, Jesus, the angels told the disciples, "The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So Jesus is going to come back the same way he went into heaven, visibly and physically. In Revelation 22:12 says, "Look," Jesus says, "look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." So Jesus is coming back, not empty-handed, with rewards for our good works. So what should we do? We should continue to do our good works, our purpose for which we are here, with joy as we wait for his return. To conclude, I would ask you to remember the purpose. The purpose for which we are here on earth. To be his witness and receive the power. And the power is for the purpose. And as we accomplish all that we have to do in this earth, rejoice in this promise that Jesus is going to return soon with our rewards. But remember the purpose. Every day before you sleep, when you wake up, when you go to office, remember the purpose. Why are you here? In Isaiah 6, when Isaiah had this encounter with Lord, Isaiah said, God said, "Whom shall I send?" Lord was asking it as if there were many people and there were options. But there was only Isaiah. So there, God has this knack of cracking jokes. So this is, I felt funny, but what did Isaiah do? Isaiah could have said, okay, he might be asking to someone else. But he said, "Here am I, send me." So imagine, Lord is asking you, "Whom shall I send today?" Would you be able to say, "Here am I, send me"? I would request you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and try to hear from the Lord. What is he saying? Is he asking you to go? Yeah, the Bible is clear. Go and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. He will definitely ask you to go. Let's hear from the Lord. We have to remember the purpose, and we are here only for one reason. That's the main thing. There are fivefold ministry, various things, preaching, prophetic, teachers, pastors. But everything is the main core of everything is winning souls for Jesus. For that, we need power. So if there is anyone who has not received the power, who are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, I would request you to give a thumbs up or raise your hand so that we can pray for you.